Take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Begin reading with verse 9. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. You'll notice in verse 10, Titus 2 and verse 10, as Paul is writing to Titus, he says, that they may adorn the doctrine of God. What does it mean to adorn the doctrine of God? The word adorn means to be an ornament, to add luster, to beautify, that others may notice, as these bondservants were told to do, to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. One translation says, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. How do we come across to people? It's a good question that we should ask each one of us, ask ourselves. How do I come across to the world? My conduct. Matt mentioned a few moments ago about being shining lights in this world. Are we letting the beauty of Jesus be seen in us, as we just got through singing? Christians are to be lights to the world. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before me that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Ye are the light of the world. If we are the light of the world, we are adorning the doctrine of God. If we're not shining as lights to the world, we're not adorning. We're not making the doctrine of God attractive at all. The Bible says in Philippians 2 verse 14, as the Apostle Paul writing to the Christians in Philippi, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 verse 11, Peter wrote, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, now listen, which they observe, glorify God. Go back to Philippians 1, please. Verse 27. Paul said, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. What is the gospel? We're going to talk about the gospel in just a moment. But there are some who hinder the gospel of Christ, who don't adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 12, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. In other words, if we are holding it back, if we're not adorning the doctrine of God, we are disrupting it. We're keeping it from going forward. The gospel is defined as the good news or the good message of Jesus Christ. I like this definition. It's the good news of the kingdom of God. And of salvation. Through whom? Through Christ. To be received by what? By faith. On the basis of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. But there are those in the world and even those among brethren, Christians, who are not adorning the doctrine of God. And the Apostle Paul brings this out in Philippians 3 when he said in verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Some brethren fall in that category. I don't want to be in that category, being an enemy of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on things above. Colossians teaches that in chapter 3. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And when we get too wrapped up in the world, we have our mind set on things that are not spiritual, that keep us from adorning the doctrine of God, that keep us from making the doctrine of God attractive. I'm sure you've heard people say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, people in the world, there were those in Corinth that Paul was encouraged by. He said, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you're a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Folks, people in the world read us before they read the book. There are people in the world. Our country is getting more and more populated all the time. I mean, we look back 30 years ago and just look at the population of this country. Just grown tremendously. And there are people out there, many people that are in our own country, in our own states, in our own within our own cities, that have never heard of the Bible. You may be working around some of them. You may be going to school with some of them. And they are going to be reading you before they ever read this. If our lives are being controlled by this, we're adorning the doctrine of Christ. We're making it attractive to those who've never heard it before in their life. The world's Bible. We come back to our reading at the very beginning, our text, Titus 2, verse 9. Adorn the doctrine of God. This is going to tell us, it does tell us, how to adorn the doctrine of God. Look down, if you would, at verse 12. We adorn the doctrine of God. Would we live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age? In Matthew chapter 22, in verse 39, when I think about ourselves living soberly, what does that mean to live soberly? It means that we live in such a way that we are of sound mind, that we have sound judgment, that we are of a serious mind. We know what it's like to see people that are not sober, people that are intoxicated. They're not of sound mind. Their judgment is not what it should be. But when we talk about our lives in general, as we're living each day of our life, we are to live in such a way that people see us as being of sound mind and good judgment. And when we live soberly, it shows respect for ourselves. Matthew 22, verse 39. Well, let me just back up a little bit to verse 37. When Jesus said to the lawyer, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then he went on to say in verse 39, he said that you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. In Ephesians 5, verse 28, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Yes, we are to have a respect for ourselves. We, as we live soberly. I want you to notice a phrase that's used a lot in the Bible. Take heed to thyself. That is a phrase that's used throughout the Bible. To pay attention to take notice of what? Of whom? Self. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 9, the children of Israel were told, take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. They had a problem with remembering all that God had done for them. And when I think about forgetfulness, I think as I get older, I'm starting to lose it a little bit on remembering certain things. But forgetfulness is a common weakness of man. These people here are warned not to forget what they had seen and heard. And the things they had seen that God had done. The things that they had heard from God. But when we go over to the New Testament, Paul told Timothy, take heed to yourself, Timothy. Pay attention to what you're doing. Take notice of self. In other words, look at what you practice. And then he went on to say, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. And that would be what he preached. What you practice, what you preach. And then he went on to say, continue in them. This is not an occasional thing. This is something you'll continue doing. This kind of life would benefit two groups of people. Himself and to his hearers. It goes right back to what we sometimes are told, or maybe we even tell other people, you need to practice what you preach. And he's been encouraged to do that. And that can lead other people to salvation when they see that in you, when they see that in me. In James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, Paul said, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3:17. The child of God who lives soberly, who meets God's standards, adorns the doctrine of God. Those who refuse to be sober-minded do so much harm to the gospel of Christ. What else do we learn? How do I adorn the doctrine of God? By living righteously. When I live righteously, I'm showing a respect for others. Loving our neighbor, for example. I want you to know something that was said in Romans 13, in verse 8 through 10. Owe no one nothing except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. But you'll notice the song here. It's not in your hymn book. It's in another hymn book, one that Brother Robert and my father worked on together years ago, probably here when he... Somerville Road in Decatur. But this was done back many years ago, 30 years ago, when I look at the copyright on it. But it's called To Love the Lord. From Luke 10 verse 27, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Paul had a concern for others. In 1 Corinthians 9, beginning with verse 19, Paul wrote, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. How are you going to do that? By being a person who adorns the doctrine of God, our Savior. And Paul was that man. What a great example. And then in verse 23, he said, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Let not every man on his own things. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. There's another hymn that might not be too familiar to some of you. There was a couple, an older couple that I knew years ago in California, who lived in Ontario, California. Brother Houchin. Some of you might have heard of Hoyt Houchin. He was his father. He was one of the elders there in Ontario. I remember hearing about Brother and Sister Houchin, the good example that they set before people around them in their own neighborhood. Every time that there was a gospel meeting, they invited everyone on the block. And not just gospel meetings, but they were inviting people to come to their regular services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. They had Bible studies with their neighbors on their block. They not only studied from the Bible, Brother and Sister Houchin were just good people. They were good neighbors. Always being there for their neighbors. Tending to their needs, physically and also spiritually. And at one point, every one of those neighbors on that block became Christians. Every one of them. You know why? Because they were adorning the doctrine of God, our Savior. They made the doctrine of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, attractive. Because they saw it in them before their neighbors ever read anything from here. That's what Brother and Sister Houchin were doing. They were living their life according to the book. How else might we adorn the doctrine of God? By living godly. You know, when we live godly, we're showing respect toward God. Our Creator, the one who loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. A forgiving God, merciful. So much to be said about God. Godly people show reverence for God. They show reverence for God's Word. If you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And let me just begin reading in verse 97. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And a light to my path. Godly people show reverence for God's word. But they also show reverence for God in prayer. In prayer. Godly people do. Jesus spoke a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Luke 18 verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Godly people show reverence toward God through prayer. When you think about Jesus while he was here on the earth, the Son of God prayed all the time. If we want to be like Christ, we'll pray more. And you know how close you are when you pray to Him. It's our way of communicating with Him. He communicates with us through His Word. We communicate with Him through prayer. And we can stay in close contact with Him. The next song is not in your hymn book. But you all do a very good job, by the way, of just picking up on these songs. But we bow down in reverence. Godly people show reverence for God by living holy and pure lives. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We find in 1 Peter 1, verse 16, be holy, for I am holy. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Folks, when I think about it, I don't know what makes the gospel look uglier than an ungodly member of God's family. It doesn't get any uglier than that. When someone who professes to be a child of God is ungodly. That's ugly. That's appalling. God is not pleased, and the world is not impressed. They're not attracted to the gospel of Christ when we act ungodly. We must live lives that are pure and holy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5, verse 8. Godly people show reverence for God by trying to save those that God so loved, that He loved so much that He gave His only begotten Son. What are we doing? What are we teaching from our own lives? In Acts chapter 8, after the death of Stephen, those who were scattered, not just the apostles, but people of God, those who loved Jesus, they were scattered and they went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Those who love Jesus love people. And people notice it. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 2 through 4, Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. You know, sometimes we just have to teach the word of God. Not just when people like it, but even when people don't like it. There are times when I have gotten up to bring a lesson knowing full well that it was going to step on toes. Or it was going to cause people to be upset with me. And that's where, before you step out, Matt, Robert, you know this, before you step out of your office or before you leave your house, you ask God one more time, be with me. Give me the strength. Give me the courage to teach your word. Whether it's pleasant to the ears or unpleasant to the ears. But as long as it's from its word, that it's coming from His word, is what matters. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Into our hands the gospel is given. How do we adorn the doctrine of God? by living soberly, righteously, and godly. And through the process, we'll be showing respect for ourselves, respect for others, and respect for God. The gospel is beautiful, but it is more attractive to those who are lost in sin when it's properly adorned, when we're wearing it. Adorning to bring luster, to beautify the gospel of Christ through us. We must adorn the doctrine of God in order to save ourselves. Yes, hear that? To save ourselves, but also to save others. Tonight, once again, the invitation of our Lord is being given to those that are in this audience. If you are a Christian and your life is not measuring up to what you know it should be, and you feel that you need to respond to the invitation tonight during the singing of the song, come down to the front. Not to me, not to Robert, but you're coming to the Lord. Making an acknowledgement before God and before this audience. Acknowledging that He is your Savior. He is your God. Seeking His forgiveness. And asking those that are here to pray on your behalf to help strengthen you. And there may be someone here tonight who's not a Christian, who has not become one. The invitation is there for you to come to Jesus, believing in Him, turning your life to Him with a penitent heart, confessing His name, and have your sins washed away in baptism. It won't be until you do that that you can begin adorning the doctrine of God. You can't adorn Him until you obey Him. But that's the first step, is to obey the doctrine of God, our Savior, the gospel, just now, right now, as we stand and sing. Bring Christ your broken life. I want to thank you all for your splendid attention tonight. As a speaker, to look out and see so many people with their Bibles open when we opened our Bibles and read, and as we were reading from what was projected on the screen, you all were just very attentive and very encouraging to me. Thank you so much. I feel like you all are kind of the guinea pig tonight. I've only done this lesson one time before, and it was about 2 weeks ago at home, without any songs in it. It was just a lesson from start to finish without that. And when Robert mentioned about me putting songs into the lesson, I did that, worked on it today, and I could tell even tonight going through it, there's another song I wished I would put in rather than the one that I used. So you're kind of the guinea pig on this, but I thoroughly enjoy us doing this together. And as we sing and glorify God with our voices and as we listen to His word, just a wonderful evening, like Robert said, to be here this evening. Tomorrow night, this world is not my home. This world is not my home. And we'll study again from God's word and sing more praises that pertain to going home. What a glorious day that will be. Coming back to "Ye are the light of the world," verse 3, and we'll close out with one verse 3 of "Ye are the light of the world."